I want to open the show this week with my jingle, Live. Can you sing? Can you dance? Pull a rabbit from your pants? Tell a rhyme? Tell a joke? Burp when you drink a Coke? Jump a hurdle? Do a flip? Get your dog to do a trick? Top talent. Play a piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of the song. It's already too long. Top talent. And the song goes on from there. My name is Richie Phillips. Welcome to Top Talent. This is the podcast that originates from upstate New York, the capital region, the Albany area and surrounding area. And I am a former radio personality. Well, I don't know about personality, but I'm a former person on radio. I did 30 years of morning radio here. It was a privilege and an honor to do that. And I also perform in the area. I write under the name Rhyme and Richie. Whatever's going on in the world, I have and have always had a stupid song about it. And again, I perform. I do piano bars and parties and weddings and conferences and whatever. And this podcast, this is the 70th episode of this podcast, by the way. If you want to hear some of the other people that I've had on, and there's been a huge array of them, if you want to listen to the archives, it's on all the major platforms, Apple, Podbean, iHeart, whatever. I've listed it on all of them, so you can, you know, take a gander at some of the past ones. This one is such a blast because I have the people that I worked with this show that I'm sure I can speak for all of my guests. They will never forget this because I will never forget working with Kevin Richards Productions, my great friend, a great friend of all the people that worked on the show. He produced this show called Up Close and Personal. And in this case, it was Up Close and Personal with Randy Travis. The legendary Randy Travis, who came to this area, the Glens Falls area, by the way. The name of the theater was the Charles R. Wood Theater. And we did several shows there last year, and we did shows this year. And then we took the entire troupe to Laconia, New Hampshire, the Colonial Theater in Laconia, and performed there. I'm not going to go any further. I'm going to have my guests explain it because I am still without words for how exciting the whole thing was, opening up for this legend. And in this episode, we're going to talk with Martin and Kelly, a country duo. If you hear them live or recorded, you're not going to believe their harmonies and their beautiful voices. Just a fantastic couple and a fantastic talent. That's why they're on Top Talent. They're my first guests, and also another person who did a co-opening act with me on this particular show is Mark Pierre, and we go back almost 30 years, believe it or not. We were neighbors when this whole thing started, our friendship, and it's just amazing that he ended up becoming a major talent in the upstate Albany area, playing country music, and he didn't even play the guitar 2 years ago, and ended up opening up a show with a legend along with yours truly. So the whole thing was amazing. I will go no further. My first guests, we're going to bring on Martin and Kelly, and they're going to talk to you about this concert that we all did here on Top Talent. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Do I hear Ryan there too?
We are here too. Thanks, Richie.
Okay. I have to initially apologize because I think the first time I met you, I said, hi, Martin. How are you? Hi, Kelly. Because you have like interchangeable names. Martin can be a first name. Kelly can be a first name. It's very confusing. So it's Jilly Martin, and I'm still confused. It's Jilly Martin and Ryan Kelly, right? Not the opposite.
Yep. Last names, and we did ladies first with the name and band. So Martin and Kelly was what we came up with.
Yeah. I was thinking who was getting top billing, how you decided that. So it's ladies first, right?
Ladies first.
Boys.
We're always pushed to the background, right? Right, Ryan? So, all right, I'm going to have you guys explain explain the show that we were all involved in, because I don't know about you, but I'm still on cloud nine from this whole thing.
It was an honor to be a part of it. Absolutely. Our good friend Kevin Richards has this amazing concept of a show that where he gets up close with stars and has a conversation with them to maybe give you a little bit more of a deeper glimpse into their lives. And we were honored to be able to be there to help sing some of the music of the legendary Randy Travis for these particular shows. And it's interjected throughout the entire evening so that they can kind of tell the stories and where songs came into different parts of his life. We hop on stage and sing just little snippets of it just to help, you know, guide the audience to understand where things were and how things came about.
That was you should do your own podcast. That was great. No, that really was very, very good.
Thank you.
When you both first got the phone call, you guys are going to be involved with a show with Randy Travis. What was your response? Because I'll tell you mine. They had to peel me off the wall.
I'm sure it was probably similar. We've been a huge fan of his music for a long time, and it's just an honor to be asked to be involved with any sort of show that involves Randy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, your father, Ryan, was there. He was doing, and your mother, they were both there doing photography work and helping out. They're huge supporters of both of you.
Yes, yeah. No, my father was a musician growing up, and he's the reason for me playing music, and he's recently taken on photography in the past couple of years, wildlife and music as well, which is great for us. So.
He likes the wildlife because I talk back to him.
That's true.
Well, I'm going to give you a little inside. He took me aside and said, maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but I will. He said, you know, Martin and Kelly, you guys have performed for a lot of different people. He said, but I can feel a little more nervousness for this from Ryan, especially, than I've seen in a while. I looked a little more nervous than normal. And he said, I think it's because he just can't believe that he's playing, you know, with Randy Travis and doing this show. Is that a good assessment?
There's a certain level of respect that comes with the catalog of Randy's music.
Yeah.
and having it in front of them, as you found out. So there's just a certain amount of pressure that goes with that. I mean, we don't necessarily get nervous anymore. We just want it to be as best it can be. And sometimes there's a lot of outside influences as far as sound and stage and setting up and, you know, other things like that, that can sometimes get in the way. But
sure.
You know, we were definitely focused for sure.
Oh, maybe yeah.
A little more.
Absolutely. The first time I was asked to do it, because we did this 2 years in a row, it took me a month. Every day I practiced every single day for a month, and I only had like a 10-minute gig in the whole, you know, the whole performance, basically. I was so nervous the first time. But when you meet him, you realize he's just the nicest, I tell you, and his wife, they're both just such nice people. It puts you at ease right from the beginning. Did you both feel that?
Absolutely. I've been fortunate enough to have been in his presence a few times over the years, but there was something about these shows that was so warm and welcoming from him.
Mm-hmm.
He really put us both at ease, you know, just kind of smiling and listening to the songs that we were doing of his that, you know, I'm sure he's thinking of all the memories that he has with those songs over the course of the evening. But, you know, the two of us are perfectionists, so anything that comes across as nerves is just both of us wanting to make sure that we execute everything to the standard that we're holding it to in front of this legend and hero of ours, that we just don't want to disappoint.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah, I always said there's like bad nerves and good nerves. You can be nervous for a bad reason. If you're not nervous when you're doing a show, I feel it's because you don't care. You have to be nervous in order to get that adrenaline up to be the best you can be, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. You live for the excitement of the shows. I think at least we do.
And, sure.
The crowds definitely delivered this past weekend in both Glens Falls and Laconia. That always helps up the ante for us when they're that into it. So that certainly helped.
Sure. Because these days there's not too many venues where you can be in front of a group like that where they're actively listening. I mean, what percentage of the time when you both go out and perform, are you performing to a group that maybe you're in the quote unquote background, you know, where it's not a show?
These days, not so much, but I think with these shows, you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
Because people wanted to hear what Mary and Randy had to say and his story.
Sure. But starting out, you must have done that. You did maybe coffee houses or bars or whatever, where people are, they're listening, but they're not listening. It's not an actively, you know, listening group. Right.
It's great when you're young and starting out, because you know, there might be a couple of mistakes in there. So yeah, when we were younger, we definitely played, you know, everyone starts in a smaller biker bar, or, coffee house, as you say, and open mic, that kind of thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice to, you know, through the years, see the change of when people are, you know, we're honored now that we get to play a lot of opening acts, and in those instances, people are definitely there to listen, and we're able to sing our original music, which is really great for us now to kind of be able to tell our story and have, you know, people listening along. But like Brian said, when you're first starting out, and you might not be necessarily the center of attention like these shows were, you know, it's humbling to now have people just listening to every little thing that you're singing or saying or doing on stage. It's kind of what you live for and hope that your career develops towards.
Yes.
Sure, sure. Now, a professional interviewer would do background research, and I had no desire to do that. And the reason I say that is I like the fact of not knowing anything about you, as if we're talking and we just met. And I really don't know a lot about you. I didn't know a lot about you when I originally got involved in this show. So how did you two meet? Like, what was, I know you're from New Hampshire. You're not both from New Hampshire. Ryan's from New Hampshire.
I'm from New Hampshire, and Jill's from Massachusetts, which is not too far apart.
Right. So how'd you two meet?
I was recording a few songs, and I was looking for a female voice on some of them, either duet wise or, you know, harmony wise. And we had a mutual friend, Mike Kelly, that had been singing with Jill, who's not related.
Oh, really?
Same.
Yeah.
And we had him come up and do a couple parts, and Jill came up, and we all kind of sang some harmonies in the studio live together, and our voices just seemed to blend really well without any sort of typical studio massaging. So she hasn't been able to shake me since.
You know, things going that, you know, we both had individual kind of careers, so to speak, going. And after that, it was kind of like, oh, why don't you come play the show? And we would kind of trade off. And then it was just like, why don't we just make this like something together? Because this is kind of cool and unique. And our voices, like he said, it just, you know, without years of history together, they just kind of blended pretty well. Yeah. So it was something that just kind of naturally took off from there. So
they blend very well. Anybody that's ever heard you will attest to that. Do you have schooling? I mean, do you have like musical schooling? Did you go to college for it, or?
I had some classical training when I was younger, but that direction was kind of going into like an opera style voice, and I am country through and through. So that kind of, I learned the techniques that I needed to for breathing and warming up and all that kind of stuff. And then it's kind of like, all right, now I'll take it from here.
Gotcha.
But Ryan had some like guitar training, but most of it was just naturally, I think, acquired.
Yeah, very good guitar and voice. what was my next question here? Oh, do you read? Do either of you read music, or both, or is it all by ear?
We both can read music and read the Nashville Number System, which is kind of the way that everybody reads music these days. But growing up, my grandmother played cocktail piano, and if she was in the room near a piano and I was near her, I had to sing. And she sang like Sweet Adelines and quartets and four-part harmonies all the time. So she would just point to me and say, you know, alto, soprano. I would just have to, you know, hear what the part was. So I think kind of thrown into the fire of ear training that way was, you know, just something that I grew up doing. And Ryan always had music in the house, so I think it just, well, fortunately for both of us, our parents just didn't really give us an option to not know how to do that.
Gotcha. So to explain the Nashville system very simply, I'm at my piano right now, as a matter of fact. If they're in a studio, instead of them giving you sheet music or even yelling out chords like C, F, G, they would just go C would be 1, F would be 4, G would be 5. Is that kind of the way it works?
Yeah,
exactly. And it's the beauty of that is, which we've been in the midst of, is you're in the studio recording something and you think maybe it's a little too low or maybe a little too high, and you want to change the key. Instead of rewriting all the charts, you can just change the key on the fly and the numbers stay the same.
Right.
Which is so helpful.
I get you. Yep. And if you have a piano, you can see it right on the piano, what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. What is it about Randy Travis's music? What is it about his music that I think appeals to people who don't even like traditional music? That happened to me. I did not like traditional country music when I started on this country station, but there's something about Randy Travis that, I don't know, it seems to surpass all genres.
I think it's his melodies and his lyrics. You can't get them out of your head. I mean, I've still been saying since the shows. And I think whether you want to or not, like they just stick with you, and they're so good, just different. And I think you can relate to his all the stories that he tells in all the different songs. I mean, like they were talking at the show, Three Wooden Crosses was number one in gospel, pop, and country music. And I think you just can relate to the songs that he tells. And it is true country music to have the storytelling like he does. He is really good at it.
Yeah. And Jillie, you said that you are country through and through, to quote what you just said before. What about you, Ryan? Did you play other forms of music before you two got together, or have you always been country, 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 country?
I'd like to dabble in a few different genres. My father was a great banjo player. So growing up, go see a lot of bluegrass bands, Nashville Bluegrass Band, and Vince Gill, and then we go see, you know, a blues band. We go see Buddy Guy or B.B. King. So it was a good mix of kind of American or Americana music that I got to listen to and play growing up.
Mm-hmm. And you both seem to gravitate more toward, from what I'm listening to, more toward traditional country. Is that a good way to describe your style?
Yeah. I think most of our heroes were traditional country music artists, so I think we can't help but love, you know, I grew up on Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline. We both love Buck Owens. And then there's, you know, Randy and George Jones. And I think that's just really where we're heavily influenced from artists. So I think it really comes through in our music and style of playing and all that kind of stuff. It just, those are the people we look up to, so that's what we want to sound like.
Sure. Yep. Now, do you listen to today's country on today's stations, and do you cringe? I mean, because it's about as far away from traditional country as you can get right now.
Yeah, I don't say that we cringe. We listen
it's evolving, yeah. which there are some artists that I feel have taken it to new levels, like Brothers Osborne.
Yeah, that's true.
Just fantastic musicians. I mean, the whole band is just great. And yeah, it might not be considered traditional, quote unquote, but it's definitely taken it to a new place.
Mm-hmm.
I think to somebody that's on, he's pretty traditional country music, but he's making his way onto, you know, the current stations. So him, and I also think Chris Stapleton has kind of helped that.
Oh yeah.
A lot. Is just vocally, you just can't help but hear a good melody, and he's definitely
Similar to Randy. Where it doesn't matter what genre you listen to, you hear one of his songs and you may think, well, that guy can sing and he can write. So.
Yeah, definitely. I like Jelly Roll myself.
Jelly Roll, he's pretty cool. He does have some crazy following.
He certainly does. I don't know if you can put that many tattoos on your face, though, Ryan, if you wanted to do his, you know, his songs.
I'll get some temperature.
Halloween.
So that was another question I had. Jillie, your women idols in country music, and that would be, you said, like Loretta Lynn. And
yeah, I, one of my favorite stories is when I was little, I grew up in Chelmsford, Massachusetts, and the Lowell Memorial Auditorium is about 6 minutes from my house. And Loretta was going to be at the Lowell Memorial Auditorium. And I remember it was the same night as a Backstreet Boys concert. And all my friends were like, you going to Backstreet Boys? I'm like, no, the Queen of Country is in Lowell. I'm going to Lowell.
That's so cool. Well, that shows you're dedicated, right? And Ryan, who would you say are your male country idols? Mostly guitarists. Do you listen to the guitarists too? You know,
I'm a guitar player at heart. Yeah. So I mean, I love Jerry Reed. To me, is one of the best country pickers to ever play. But, you know, I love the Buck Owens stuff. I love the Don Rich stuff.
Yep.
And guys like Vince Gill.
Vince Gill. Yep. Yep. I was just thinking of those two. Yes.
And Brothers Osborne, you know, John Osborne's a great, great guitar player. I tend to gravitate towards that because I am a guitar player at heart, for sure.
It's shocking, yeah. Really.
Yeah, we'll hear you warming up. Like Mark Pierre and I were standing in the wings, and we heard you doing a few riffs, and we're like, Mark turned to me and goes, "God, I wish I could do that." Because we're all jealous at heart, right? We're all competitive and jealous at heart. Now, when you two work together, being that you, well, yeah, you are a couple, quote unquote. do you find what are some of the hard parts of being that? I'm trying to picture my wife and I being, you know, a duo. I don't know. That would be a little rough. Do you have there must be some bumps in the road there. Like I keep thinking, let's say you had an argument during the day about something that happened, you know, at home, and then you got to bring it to the studio when you're working together. That can be kind of tough, can it? Or do you both just have kind of like a pact between you two where you just forget everything, concentrate on the music? How does that work?
I don't know what you're along great.
I know. I'm really getting you know, personal here. Like I'm becoming Dr. Phil right on, yeah. Right here.
No, we fortunately had kind of a really good working relationship to start out. So we kind of always knew how we handled ourselves around people as, you know, business partners. And so it just kind of, the show must go on, and we are performers. So it just, you never want to let anybody onto anything else that, you know, might be getting under your skin if, you know, mm-hmm. I wrong or something, you know, that's usually
where. We also feel really lucky to be able to do this together. So there's really not too many times where we can, you know, stop and think, well, this is not working. You know, it's just, it's nice to have someone else that you can talk to and kind of go through it with you. So
absolutely.
Yeah. All the travel that we do to, like, on the off days, we get to go sightseeing, and you're, you know, with your best friend. And then, you know, the days you're working, but you're still with your best friend. So it's, we are very fortunate with that.
Oh, that's great. I'm really glad for you. But, you know, we're missing one part of your story here from, you know, living in New Hampshire and Massachusetts to opening for acts all over the place in going to Nashville and writing. How did that happen? I know it's probably a long story, but how did you get connected, I should say, with Nashville?
Just kind of over the years, we've both gone back and forth to Nashville, and it just is, and kind of the place where you need to end up to be writing and to be with the friends that we meet at some of these great shows. So a lot of relationships have grown through that over the years. Before Ryan and I were together, I spent many years living full-time in Nashville. And,
really? Oh, I didn't know that. It's
relationships through with the stuff that we do. And, you know, through the shows that we've played together over the years, we've made more friends and connections, you know, there. And so it's brought us there more and more. And so it's just kind of the place we got to be. It's also great because it's centrally located to a lot of the things that we do. So we use it as a, you know, jump off point for, you know, all of the driving that we do.
Don't go anywhere while you're mowing your lawn, doing your dishes, or whatever you're doing. We'll be back with Martin and Kelly. And following that conversation, Mark Pierre, all part of the Randy Travis Up Close and Personal series from Kevin Richards here on
Top Talent.
You're listening to Top Talent. You're a very smart person. We'll be back in a moment.
But first, as you may or may not know, I have no sponsors for this. I don't ask for money, donations. I kind of find that a little bit tacky. So instead of that, if I may, I would like to tell you about a service that I can provide for you if you have a special event coming up.
Do you know someone who's feeling down or has a special occasion coming around? I'm at your service. Call on me to write a personal pick-me-up parody. A pick-me-up everybody needs. A pick-me-up, you agree?
I agree.
It's the pick-me-up parody. Give me 10 little facts, pick a musical style. I'll come up with a ditty to make you smile. The song gets emailed, by the way, guaranteed. to make their day. It's a pick-me-up. Everybody needs a pick-me-up. You agree?
Yes, sir.
It's the pick-me-up parody from Rhyme and Richie. Details at HireRichie.com.
HireRichie.com.
That's HireRichie.com.
Okay, let's get back to the conversation.
Top talent.
Now, didn't you or both of you do demos for other people in Nashville as well?
We've done some of it, but most of the stuff that we demo now is stuff that we write ourselves.
Okay.
But it's kind of a fun thing to be able to do. That's one of the cool things that we were able to show at the Randy show these past weekends, was that I was asked to do some demos of songs he had written to be able to pitch to Carrie Underwood, and was able to keep those songs. So we're able to perform those now, which is, you know, we're very blessed to be able to have those kind of, you know, and we were able to show them this weekend, which was really fun.
More than really fun. I sat in that audience and I watched those people's faces for the one song in particular. What's the name of the song again?
If She Means That Much to You.
If She Means That Much to You. And again, yeah. That was an unreleased Randy Travis song, correct?
Yes. Yep.
And gave it to you somehow, and you sang it. And I'm telling you, everyone that hears you, well, both do this song, they just turn around and remark and say, "Oh my God, that's a hit! That's a hit!" So, what do you think? I mean, I don't know. Is there a next step in mind?
I think we'll hopefully just keep playing that song for now, and, you know, keep getting into, you know, people's ears and hearts and minds, and hopefully they'll remember it and think about it and want to hear it some more, and maybe we can, you know, do something with it in the future. But we do love playing it. It's one of those true classic country Randy songs, and we're fortunate that our good friend Lance Derry kind of introduced us to that opportunity. So we thank him for that. And, you know, hopefully we'll get some more people to hear that song sometime soon.
Oh, you do a drop-dead beautiful job of that song, I'm telling you. And I keep thinking, with today's country, if they played like four or five, you know, poppy country songs in a row, upbeat, and then pop that song in, people would be driving off the road listening. I don't understand. I'm not kidding. It just drives me insane. I just really hope they wake up and when it comes to their desk, they put it in the rotation, because it's just, you just do such a beautiful job of it. Oh my God.
Thank you. I hope people don't drive off the road.
Yeah. Yeah, especially those New Hampshire roads, right? Yeah. Would you ever consider doing like The Voice or American Idol? Do you watch those shows?
We have. We auditioned for, it was The Voice.
Yeah.
And we got through a couple of rounds, and, you know, it just probably wasn't for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to the point where I just think our story wasn't good enough.
we're not very controversial people. So.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I agree with you there. They concentrate on the story, and to me that jades you even more when you listen to them. Somebody could be not that great, but then you hear the story, and you feel sympathetic toward them and their voice, right?
Yeah, no, we have all of our limbs and our family still here. So
that is that is so true. I love that. I love it. Oh, I don't know if people want to hear me laugh for 10 minutes, but I may have to edit this. That was great. So, you know, I've also heard so many biographies and read autobiographies of some of the great players and musicians and actors and everybody else. And a lot of them say, when I start out, I don't have a plan B. You know, it's not like if this doesn't work out, I'm going to be an accountant, or if this doesn't work out, I'll go back and work on my parents' business. Do you guys have a plan B, or are you all in on this?
We don't.
We're all in at this point. Yeah, we both of us made a choice, I think, at an early age that there's nothing else that we could do and still be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You kind of have to make that choice. I mean, I did go to the University of Massachusetts at Louisville. I have a business degree, but it was kind of the decision of, you know, doing music and something else. Like, you just need 100% focus on the music.
We just spent 6 weeks, you know, traveling out west, and you can't just tell someone, hey, I'm going to be gone for 6 weeks playing music. It just doesn't work.
Right. Well, yeah. You have to have a very liberal boss for something like that. That's right. And you do things out west. How's the reaction been there?
We absolutely love it out there.
It was a whole different experience because they really do enjoy line dancing and good country music out there, which mm-hmm. is...
Yeah, we had some fun with those shows. It's fun to be able to play the traditional country music that we like, and people are excited to still hear those songs. So we'll be back out west next year too, so we're looking forward to that. But it is nice that there's still a home for traditional country music.
You know, talking to Mary Travis, that would be Randy's incredible better half, who really is the backbone behind everything. I tell you, she's unbelievable, isn't she?
She absolutely is.
She's one, sure.
Right after the shows in Laconia, we had breakfast in the hotel, and she was mentioning that, and you were there, that's right, you came toward the end there. She said that there were times where Randy would play these bars, and they had to put chicken wire up so people wouldn't throw beer bottles and all kinds of stuff at him. Could you imagine doing shows like that?
I did in my teenage years. So
really? Wait a minute, you were throwing the bottles or you were receiving them?
I hope you weren't throwing beer bottles in your teenage years. Yeah.
What, you actually saw like a wild bar like that?
I played a lot of questionable places.
Really? What was the worst? Give us an example. Don't name the place, obviously, but...
I mean, I played a few bike weeks up in New Hampshire in the early teens that were interesting.
You're going to leave it at that? Oh, so you went out as a solo. As a teenager, you got up and played the guitar by yourself?
I had a band, and my that was the deal, was that I was going to go play places like that. My father was going to be in the band. He learned how to play bass, so he could kind of wash out for me and do all that
kind of stuff. Gotcha.
It was great because he learned so much. Just there's really no substitute for playing with four or five other people and just, you know, feeling out other musicians. And you can't teach that kind of thing. So.
Sure. But is your preference just do a duo, or would you guys like to join a band? I mean, once in a while and play in a band? Jilly, do you like that, or would you rather just do what you're doing? Because it is a different thing. It's a different experience. It is.
We do have a group of musicians that plays with us. So we do also play, not just as the two of us, but also in a band configuration, which is fun because then, you know, Ryan can play electric guitar, which is a whole other beast. And, It lends itself to different situations, but different shows sometimes require us to be the duo, sometimes require us to be the trio, which we have our drummer James McCarthy is really fun to add when we can add that third piece. And then we do have, you know, the ability to make it a band sometimes. And we love those shows too, because it just opens it up to a whole different, you know, type of song and feel and energy on the stage. So
sure.
Yeah, we love both. It just depends on what the opportunity is.
And I'm sure you've met so many talented people in Nashville. Probably everybody, it's filled. The whole city is filled with people. You know, I had one experience there when I was on radio. We did a conference down there. We had to go to a conference, a radio conference, where you meet radio personalities from all over the country. And we were taking a van from the hotel to the convention center, because that's where a lot of the seminars were and stuff. And I'll never forget this. There was a guy sitting next to us in the van. You know, it's one of these 8-seat vans. And he's sitting there, and he asked where we were from. And I said, we're from Albany, New York, from a radio station. We're here for a conference. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I'm here with my my daughter, and she's way in the back here. And I turned around, and she was sitting way in the back. And he goes, yeah, she's got a CD out that she's trying to push, and not, she doesn't have it out, but she recorded a CD, and she, you know, she's here in Nashville, and she, the girl's in the back going, Dad, don't mention it to him. And he turns around to her and he goes, listen, you're in Nashville now. You've got to start talking about it. Give me the CD right now. So the girl gives the guy the CD and he gives it to the driver. And he says, please put the CD in. And I'll never forget it. The guy puts the CD, and the voice out of this girl, she was just amazing. And it just made me think, it's just like any other, any person that you can randomly find in Nashville has like got this incredible talent. It was just such an experience, you know? That's just somebody you meet in a van.
It's definitely a mecca of a lot of talent, which is really inspiring to go to shows down there and hear the different people play and just all the different experiences that people have. It's fun for us to be there. And
the best guitar stores in the world, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You never know who you're going to walk in.
Have you played in clubs there, though? Did you start out doing clubs? Yeah. Like talent
We've done
things?
We do rounds and we do all that kind of stuff mm-hmm. down there. We find that, you know, we're there mostly now for songwriting. And we travel mostly outside of Nashville to places.
But... Songwriting and hot chicken.
Nashville hot chicken.
are any of your songs like on... Spotify, or do you have anything out?
Yeah, we do have an EP together with songs on any, you know, of the places that you can stream music. So we're currently kind of, when we're not on the road, in the studio recording some songs and trying to finish some songs to get some new music out, because it's been a few years.
All righty. Thank you, Martin and Kelly. And please be sure to check out their website, check out their music on all the major music platforms. You will love it. On to part two of the podcast as we speak to my old friend and cohort on this particular show, Mark Pierre, here on
Top Talent.
Hey, Mark.
How are you?
Doing good. You're on with Martin and Kelly. Can you hear? Say hello, guys. I want to see if everybody can hear each other.
How you guys doing? Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Hey, Ryan.
How's it going?
Doing well.
This is good. This is good. I'm thanking Apple for the technology, for this high-tech show I got going on here.
An Apple a day truly does, right?
This is great. So for you folks listening, Mark Pierre was on the show with us. He unfortunately did not have a chance to go to Laconia. Oh, my God. But Glens Falls was unbelievable as well. So, Mark, what was your reaction when you heard Martin and Kelly? Because I know you kept jumping up and down in the wings listening to him talking to me about them.
Well, I mean, it's always amazing when you hear somebody sing covers of somebody famous, especially somebody as famous as Randy Travis. But, I thought, you know, their renditions, which I always like when people can put a little bit of their own flavor to it, which they did.
Right.
When Jilly did, that version of Randy's song that had never been released. I mean, I think we all just sat there with our mouths wide open, staring at it going, wow, that's a great song.
Oh, I know. It was the universal reaction. You could see it in people's eyes. You didn't have to say anything to people in the audience. They would just could hear a pin drop.
Yeah. We all felt like American Idol judges. We were all standing there looking at her going, I would buy that record.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. And Martin and Kelly, what did you think of Mark Pierre's version of Point of Light?
It was awesome. I love that song, and it was really fun to be able to hear. Again, it's always fun to hear somebody's own take on a song that you've heard, you know, somebody like Randy sing for years, but Mark did a killer job on it, so it was really fun.
Voice is perfect for that style of song.
Yeah, a lot
Thank
of people...
Thank you. I'm blushing over here. So.
Yeah. A lot of people thought you sounded just like him.
You know, yeah. I he's right in my wheelhouse. I was so thrilled when I got the first call last year to do the first two shows that we did. I've been singing Randy songs since Randy was singing Randy songs. So his voice is just so unique, and there's nobody that sounds like him. He's amazing.
Now, you guys, I'm going to brag about Mark to you guys because he doesn't brag about himself. But I don't think he was even playing. I know for a fact he wasn't even playing the guitar 2 years ago. Right, Mark?
No. I actually taught myself during COVID. when the bands all shut down and everything else. And it was just funny because I actually called Richie to back me up because a guy had asked me to do a couple of acoustic shows, and I gave myself – I booked it out 2 months from when the guy asked me to put a couple of things on the schedule so I could learn how to play guitar. And I called Richie and I said, all right, I don't want to do this alone because I'm not that good yet. But can you sit in on a couple of gigs with me? And Richie goes, sure. So we ended up doing a couple of acoustic shows together. And literally within 6 months, I was doing solo shows, which was pretty crazy. It
takes a lot of guts, I tell you. And you did an amazing job.
Everyone can pull that stuff together that quickly. It's impressive.
Very impressive.
It certainly gave me a whole new appreciation for people who play and sing. Because I was always singing, you know, even with bands, I sang, I was always lead singer, but I never played an instrument. And in just coordinating playing an instrument while you're singing a song, I really gained a huge appreciation for people who can do that. So, and to play like, obviously like you guys do. I mean, your guitar playing, Ryan, is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you were, it's just, I hope, and I'm probably too old to ever get to the point you are, but it just, you were so good on the guitar. And I kept looking at Richie going, man, I just wish I could make my guitar sound like that.
I told him that. Yeah, yeah.
I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
He's your whole orchestra behind you, right? Now, Mark also has a financial background, so I'm wondering for Martin and Kelly, Mark, do you have any financial advice, you know, to secure their future?
Yes. Yes, when they're really famous, they just need to call me.
I'm trying to get you work, Mark.
I know, because my gut feeling is there's going to be a day when we're going to be walking or sitting in our car listening to the radio and their songs are going to be on the radio. So I think, you know, I was that impressed with how they sounded. So, I'm truly praying that it happens because I know how much work it takes to get there.
And actually, I'm not, you know, throwing out anything that's secret because it's right in his autobiography, but Randy himself had some trouble with finances and keeping an eye on his finances. And that's not unique to musicians. Don't you agree? A lot of musicians really are more interested in the next gig than what's in their bank account. They're not watching. There's been so many famous examples of that.
Yeah. And it's so hard. I mean, we see it all the time with famous athletes or famous musicians,
right,
or movie stars where, you know, it's almost a shock when they become famous and it's a whirlwind of money that kind of flows in all of a sudden, because it always seems that fame is very quickly, you know, once you get the accolades, it comes pretty quickly. And then understanding how not to screw it up from that point, because so it's really easy to go buy the huge house and the cool car and help all of your friends and family, but it's one thing we always tell clients these days is always you got to pay yourself first, and you got to make sure you're taken care of, and be smart that way. But and let's face it, you know, when you're truly the starving artist, and I know, you know, they're doing a lot of traveling, and Ryan and Gilly can probably attest to this. When you're doing this much traveling and everything else, the expense to trying to make it is a great expense. So when you finally make it, you've earned it. Yeah, and now it's just trying to figure it all out from there.
And I have heard several stories of, and I don't know if this is true or not, I'm going to ask Martin and Kelly this. when you open for, let's say you're going to open for, I don't know, Carrie Underwood, a lot of times they don't even get paid. Is that true? I mean, they pay for their expenses and hotels or something like that, but they consider it almost like a privilege that you're on the tour with them. You're doing it for quote unquote exposure. Is that true?
I'm not sure if we've necessarily run into that yet, but I'm sure everyone's story is different. You know, I'm not saying that we wouldn't do something like that, but.
Yeah, there's certain artists that we respect that we would just want to be on a show with if the opportunity was presented. But
right.
For the most part, my grandmother always said, don't give your talents away.
Right. But a lot of musicians have to pay their dues in the beginning in a lot of really crazy ways, right? Like even if you're doing your first album, a lot of times all the sales of your first album kind of go to the expenses for the first album.
Yeah, a lot of stuff cycles back into each other, you know, having merchandise and all that kind of stuff. Garth Brooks was really smart by, you know, keeping that all under his wing, because it, you know, it can certainly supplement what you'd be making on a tour. So that kind of stuff definitely helps artists, especially these days with streaming and all that kind of stuff, where you're mostly getting paid for the live shows.
Right.
On have the merchandise with you. That's all the stuff that kind of helps and matters right now.
Did you ever hear the story of the Beatles? That the Beatles said when all the merchandise came out, you know, the coffee cups and all the kinds of lunch boxes and everything, they said, we don't want any part of that. We want no part of the merchandising. Just, we don't care. They gave away, and they're still billionaires, but they gave away like millions and millions of dollars.
I did not know that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. See, Mark.
And I can attest that we played some local, you know, the Country Fest, and, you know, I was there when Eric Church was there. And I think, Richie, you actually came up and sat on stage with us at that point.
Yeah.
When the band was playing. And I remember those were always pro bono. Those were, you know, those were just to get your name out there and get some exposure. But, and it was great exposure. That was the biggest crowd I had ever played in front of, in the beginning. So, but it is great experience, and it is a great way to get your name out there.
Well, I'll tell you something. The day that Kevin called me, here I am sitting here and saying, would you like to open for Randy Travis? I didn't ask him for money. Don't tell him that. But
right. Yeah, right.
Please don't.
I would have said it out loud, but I would have absolutely. I mean, that was just such an honor.
I'm going to edit that part out, by the way. That's not going out. Well, it was just really, I got to say, a thrill to work with all you guys. And I just had such a blast on those shows. Oh, my God.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing I always said when you play shows, you know, there are times when you play shows when people, there's all different personalities that we run into out there. But this group that we played with this year, I mean, between Ryan and Jilly and yourself and especially Randy and Mary, I mean, this wasn't the most humble group of people just enjoying the night.
Right.
You know, and that was, to me, is which was so really cool. Because, you know, the first year when we played there, having Mary walk in and they had separate dressing rooms that year. And Mary walks over and she goes, where are you guys going? And I said, oh, we have a separate area for us. And she goes, no. We're together on this. We're here for the next 6 hours. We're in the same room. She goes,
wow.
That was like, I remember my heart just dropped because it was like, oh my God, we're going to get to like hang out with you guys. And again, he signed my guitar. That was when he signed my guitar. And this year I had him sign a couple pictures that I took last year with him. And it was like, oh my, it was just so cool.
I saw her too with the meet and greet. You know, they had a huge line of people, and Randy was there and smiling through every single one of those pictures, and got to the last one. And then Kevin came up and said, we want to take a group shot of, you know, the people that worked on the show, all of us. And Kevin immediately goes, but that's okay. We can do it tomorrow night. This was, you know, when we were in Glens Falls. We can do it. We can do it when we're in New Hampshire. Don't worry about it. And Mary goes, what are you talking about? Let's do it right now. You know, she's just incredible.
She is, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned, she said they didn't get home till 3 o'clock in the morning from their flight from good old Albany. You know, and you have to understand, folks, Mary Travis drove the car from the Albany, New York airport to Laconia, New Hampshire, which is like a 4-hour drive. She drives the car. He, of course, is in a wheelchair. She pushes him through the hotel to the venue, around the venue, backstage. He's on the stage. She's pushing him. He's off the stage. She's pushing him. Back in the car, back in the van, drives 4 hours the next day, gets in the plane 6 o'clock at night, doesn't get home till 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean,
yes, it's a lifestyle that a lot of people couldn't handle.
No, devotion.
But I think for both of them, the joy that him being in front of people and still seeing people, I think the joy that it brings people makes her keep doing it, because you can see how happy they are to bring that happiness to people.
Yeah, she was asked, why do you continue to do it? And I forgot who told me this. Maybe it was Kevin. She said, what are we going to do, sit home and stare at each other? That's what she said, yeah. Of course, they have a farm too, right?
I think they do, yeah.
Yeah, in Texas. Yeah, so I'm sure they're busy. Well, this is great. And in the next episode, hopefully, Mary is going to call in. She's gracious enough to say that she would be a part of a companion podcast to this one. And I'm going to get Kevin on there, the mastermind behind the whole thing, Kevin Richards. And boy, what a job he did with this whole show.
Oh, I mean, the video, everything was awesome.
Yeah. And that was up to him, too. When they originally put this together, they said, no, you do the slides, you do the videos and all the graphics, and Mark was with him, and just amazing, amazing job. Well, thank you guys again. And anything else you want to say to each other?
Martin and Kelly. Yeah, Martin and Kelly. I always do this. Ryan and Jilly, it was an absolute pleasure playing with you. And I laughed because I know I said that to you. How many people have done that? And they go all the time. But I was like, so it was amazing. But you guys were an absolute pleasure to hang out with for a day. So, and I look forward to the next time you're playing locally, and we're available. We're definitely going to be there as fans of yours in the audience. So,
what do you mean, Mark? We'll open for them, and we don't have to get paid.
That's right. Dave, I think that's a good idea, Rich.
Yeah. Yes. Best of luck to all you guys.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us, Richie. We appreciate it. Hopefully we'll all be together again soon.
You have a Facebook page? You have a website to find out more about you guys?
Yeah. Check us out, martinkellymusic.com, and all the socials are at Martin and Kelly. So you can find us pretty easily that way.
Awesome. Okay, great. Thanks a lot, guys. We will talk soon, hopefully.
Thanks, Rich.
All righty. Thank you, Mark. And thanks to Martin and Kelly for being on this episode. Coming up, my fingers and toes are crossed. Mary Travis, if they're not too busy, Mary Travis is going to call in on my next episode. So we're going to be speaking with the wife of Randy Travis. Some of the incredible experiences they have had together as they travel the country to promote and to continue the legacy of this incredible, incredible legend. And we'll also talk with Kevin Richards, who is the mastermind and marketing genius of these shows that we were all involved with. And he's got a ton of other shows coming up, by the way. So we'll be talking with Kevin Richards, too. All right, I'll do a little shameless plug here at the end. If you want to see the little parody that I did a parody of Randy Travis's hit, Digging Up Bones. I wrote this song my first year in radio, which was like 1988. I just loved Randy Travis, so I started doing, podcasts, parodies about his songs, and that was one of them. And here we are, like over 30 years later, I got the opportunity to do a parody right in front of him of his own song. And they got such a kick out of it, but not as much as the kick that I got out of seeing him get a kick out of it. If you go to my Facebook page, which is Ryman Richie or Richie Phillips, either one of them, I got two, pages there. You will see the clip of what I did in front of that audience and the response. Whenever I'm in a bad mood, I play that clip because I couldn't get over the response. It almost knocked me off my piano stool. But again, that's self-bragging here, and I don't mean to do that, but hey, I might as well. So that's it. Thank you for listening, and see you again on
Top Talent.